Lord, I believe all things are possible because I believe. Whereas the Bible teaches that all things are possible to them that believe. As a matter of fact, there's nothing that is impossible to them that believe. So it's good to be here this morning, have our first morning service out of the camp meeting. Actually, we had our morning service yesterday. And camp meeting, as I say, officially gets started then because we have a morning service and a night service, and it's consecutive. We go right into the morning worship of our camp meeting. And it's good to be here. It's real good to see Al come in. I didn't know he was here. He's a little tired. He come in about 3 o'clock this morning. And, of course, I guess Stevie, some of them told my wife, but she apparently didn't tell me. Of course, we've had the Allens down from the Carolinas, brother and sister Allen, and the little daughter Shirley. And we've had kind of a conglomeration of things in the last few days. And I should have told me it might not would have registered, but I'm almost sure it would have because I don't remember her making mention of it to me. It's good to have Gerald here this morning. I think that's Gerald back there, isn't it? Yeah, I thought it was. Hadn't seen him in a few days. I've been gone off, and Brother Gerald hadn't been around. Gerald's a wonderful person, and I miss him when he's not here. Sister Bullard's still with us. I think maybe she's going to stay a day or two, I hope. And Brother Bullard, I hope she'll get on the phone and really have a talk with him. Find out why he hasn't come back home. I've been thinking about Brother Larry for a good long while, And I really miss him because he too is a wonderful person. And some of you people really don't realize the way that these people have contributed to our ministry. I knew that Larry was going to leave when he was here before because Larry had already talked to me about it and asked me what I thought was the best thing to do. And at the moment I told him I felt it was the best thing for him to return to Mississippi. And he did. But he not only was a tremendous support to us here, but Larry and his wife has continued to support this ministry since they've been gone. As a matter of fact, I said yesterday, was it, that she brought $500 offering even when she come over, and they send offerings through the mail, sometimes $500 or whatever. And Larry, I suppose, really don't know, but I suppose Larry must give at least $10,000 or $11,000 just before he left to go to Mississippi. And they have been a wonderful blessing to us. I wondered why he hadn't come back to the services. It's good to have you here. We've got a brother, Jim Harris. Where's Jim at? I saw Jim before I come in. Oh, here's Jim over here. Brother Jim Harris. Brother Jim's a brother that we've been corresponding with by mail. He got acquainted with our ministry at Big Gun, the Big Gun of Dixie. And he has been very generous also. They sent us a nice offering. And not only that, but in Jim's relation with others, he turned some hearts in this direction. And he and his wife are with us this morning for the first time. Jim believes the truth, as far as I know. He looks like he's got the real thing. And also, another brother that's acquainted with us through Big Gun that's here, and that's Henry. Henry's right here. And also, Brother McGarry, I don't know just exactly how he got acquainted with us, but he's with the folks. And Brother Henry also sent us a nice offering too. So some of these people that hear the gospel by means of radio or whatever, they are very generous toward us, and we certainly appreciate it. We make no appeal for money. We do not solicit in any manner whatsoever. We believe God. We trust God. We do not peddle nor sell the things of God in the way of literature to turn the house of God into a place of merchandise. We strictly trust God, and God, through his generosity, kindness, through the love of Jesus, his son, always meets all of our needs and carefully keeps his word in that he said, I will supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory. He does it. I needed yesterday $8,000, more than $8,000, a number of hundreds of dollars beyond that. And I never bothered anybody. I never mentioned anything to anybody in the way of asking them for anything. I just told the Lord the need. And within a little while, just in a little while, the Lord supplied all of that and more too. He supplied all of that and more in just a little while. And then he not only did that, but he wanted me to know that he kept his word in that he said that God would abundantly bless, good measure, pressed down, heaped together, running over. And he wanted me to know that it was abundant. So then I had God to speak to me by his own way and speak to me through others. And it was said to me, said, Brother Pike, if you need more, it's available. So the Lord takes care of us. He looks after us. And some of the people, of course, are astounded. Even Brother David Allen from the Carolinas, he says, Brother Pike, he said that it never ceased to astound him. He said, the way that God meets your needs and supplies your needs, and especially in a crisis or under pressure, he said, I just ain't got that kind of faith. He said, it astounds me the way he does it. And said, I just, ain't got that kind of faith. Said, I just can't do that. But it is a true fact that David does have an amazing faith, for he has done great things for God. As to the degree of his faith, I don't know, but I know that he has done astounding things for God. And even though he's having a terrific battle right now with the state of Carolina concerning his business, yet he is still holding his own, and he's still being victorious to the extent that God is still providing and helping him. But he says, I'm just astounded. The tears comes into David's eyes. He says, I'm just astounded. I've never seen nothing like it in my life. But the Lord does do it abundantly, not just in the sense of meeting $8,000 yesterday, but God does it in the sense of many hundreds of thousands of dollars with a regularity. And for this, I thank the Lord. We just paid off the last payment on the plane, and now the boat and the plane is paid for, which we did strictly by faith in God. And the man from the Kiwanis Club, the chairman, was telling me this morning, he said, you're the fellow with that twin engine that flies in and out at the airport. Isn't that right? I said, yep, that's right. I said, God's blessed us. And he was deeply interested in our work and our activity, and he talked to me about some of the things. And by the way, we've got our concession stand down here, and it's about, I'm not sure, but I believe he said it's about $24,000 or better, is it, Brother Taylor, that this little stand costs. And we are responsible for it as long as it is on our property, so we need to be careful with it and need to work together. They've got cotton candy and popcorn and whatever thrills the children's heart, as well as the needed food. I couldn't get the food right off because of the holiday circumstances and whatever. But Don told me, he said, don't worry, he said, I'll take care of that. And he's already took care of some of it. When he brought the concession stand, he also brought us quite a number of things that we had to have, and he said, I'll take care of it. So then, it's there for your convenience. Now, Don didn't quite understand when he gave me the prices. He said, now, a hamburger such and such and a hot dog such and such. And I said, well, Don, we don't do it that way. And he couldn't understand that part of it. He said, well, you'll never make any money like that. I said, no, that's true, we won't. He said, but that's the purpose of it, is to make money. I said, no, not with us. I said, that's not our purpose. And he took to the idea. After he thought it over a little bit, he thought that was a good idea. But there is a charge, and the charge is just exactly according to our investment, to the best of our integrity with man and God. If we buy it wholesale, whatever, and that's the way we usually get it, whatever it costs us wholesale, it will be proportionally divided up, but you can get what you want at the wholesale price according to what it proportionally calls for. So you'll be paying only whatever it is, and I hope Brother Taylor and them will get together pretty soon on that and get everything accurate so that we be sure that we don't do anything else. I try my very best, as we did with Christian Storehouse, to make not one penny. And even though we have overhead, we have lights, we have a lot of things that we have to pay for, yet I ask the people, even when we had the storehouse, I said, if you will, I said, charge them exactly what we pay for it. And then when it comes to the overhead, rather than trying to include that in the purchase price, just let the people get together, that is our board of directors or our men, let them get together and determine what the overhead is, and let them contribute that in a unanimous thing or in a group, bringing that up to date for their families and whatever that's doing the purchasing. That way, nobody can say, well, we have to add this because, and the first news you know, it gets perverted, and you're making a little profit, and you want to make a little more profit, and after a while, it just gets into a bad situation. This way we can be sure that we keep it straight. Now, in the concession stand, we're going to try to do the very same thing. In that we can't do that through the purchase price of the food, what we'll have to do is take the supplies, and whatever the supplies are, we'll have to total the supplies, and whatever the supplies are. Then, with the totaling of those supplies, we'll divide it up, and you pay accordingly in the purchase. And, of course, the overhead there, not so much lights, even though it does take a lot of electricity. Usually our people give their services free, so there's no charge for the services doing something brother for brother, sister for sister. But there is quite a few $100 in the cost of renting it and having it out here for our convenience. And Don let us have a couple of extra days and wouldn't charge us for that. So far as I know, we have it through the following Sunday, this coming Sunday now. Is that right? He brought me the contract and whatever, and we signed it. It's a copy of all the things. But anyway, it's down there, and they've already started it. As a matter of fact, I think some of them's already been eating some cotton candy. I don't know whether they bought it or they just happened to be there at the right time. But anyway, it's there for your convenience. I'm sorry that we didn't have it last year. A year or two before, we had a place to feed the people, and we got into problems over it, so it didn't work out very good, and we purposed in our heart we'd do that this year or do it another way. And I hope and pray to God, should Jesus tarry, that by next year maybe we'll have something on the building out here in the way of a cafe. One of the first things we did was put a dining room out here. And we had one gathering for the dining room, and we didn't hardly have room for the people. You know, a lot of folks come to dine that don't come to church. And we had a lot of diners, and the place was just literally filled up. So we had to do away with that. And we decided if we're going to have hundreds of people to dine, then we're going to have a bigger place. And we postponed it, and now we still haven't got the place. But I trust that some of the men that are interested in world evangelism and people's welfare that come to the camp meetings and whatever, that these men will get together with me and we'll be able to do something for God. I like Brother Al Gonzalez's attitude and the way he's doing things in Mexico since he's down there. They decided to do a little work. And they plowed fields and they planted corn. And Brother Al says from all the way from Mexico that we're getting some new harvest. And it's been a beautiful thing. The concession stand coming in also to show it. And Brother Al bringing the grain, crossing of the Jordan into Canaan. The lights that went out last night in the service that stayed off so long, it was very obvious that it was indicating that America is now finished and over. And the new government of God has now come in that today being the fourth has to do with independence. And the great independence of the church and of the great body of Christ, those that are spiritual, those that are observing, those that see, those that are not carnal-minded, but they that see in the Holy Spirit and that walk in God, that are watchmen of the walls, they see this thing and they realize what's happening. But as Brother David Allen told me today, I was talking about seeing these things. And I was praising God last night as I lay on my bed. No one was in the room but me and all the lights out. And I was laying there with my hands raised, talking to God and praising God. And my heart was so thrilled. And I was just saying over and over, Jesus, I love you and I thank you so much that you would let me see these unbelievable, fantastic, glorious things that eyes have never beheld. And in that you've let me see them, I'm speechless. I don't have the word of praise and honor and adoration for you. All I can do is just say I love you and I thank you. And on the other hand, looking at the terrors and the calamities that's about to befall mankind and especially America. I was mentioning it to David, and David said, you know, Brother Pike said, just the things that I see myself, said they're frightening to me. And I could see that because the things that I see are nothing less than terrifying. I mean literally terrifying. And all the words that I could say to you to express it, it wouldn't begin to let you know the horror that's hanging over your head and that will explode at any moment. But nevertheless, when people eat and when people drink and when people have convenience, they cannot be convinced of this. You can talk to them, but it's like people watching a television show. The things that they say or the things that they see and the things that they hear are not realistic. You know, it just becomes a frivolous sort of a thing in their mind, and it's like a television show. They've heard it, they turn it off, and that's it. But people that are subjected to hunger and the pangs of hunger, and people that are subjected to cancer with the dread of death at any moment, and people that are subjected to tortures and miseries, and people that have no convenience, all of a sudden this thing becomes a great reality of horror, and it becomes a great reality of terror. So then, though you don't know, America will soon know. And it'll be too late then, but they will soon know. And sad to say, you right here at Bethlehem will know also. You will know also. So then it behooves us to make preparations, strict preparations, and believe the ministry and believe what the minister is saying. Check your minister out. Find out if he's a real minister of the word. If he's a minister of the word, if he lives and talks the word, then he is a minister of God. If he does not live the word and talk the word, you need to change your church, or you need to get rid of him, because the Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak God's word. And if he isn't doing that, then he is a detriment to the church. He's a liability to you and to your family, and you better get rid of him just as quick as you possibly can. If he deviates in any point, it doesn't make any difference if it's one iota, one jot, one tittle, if he deviates from the Bible and the strictness of holiness, one iota, then you need to question him to find out where it is of his ignorance and he just doesn't know that you might allow and have mercy, or whether or not he does know and is willful in the sin that he is given to the pleasures of this life and the little foxes that spoil the vines of them that have tender grapes. So then I would find out if I was you, because it's checking up time. Glad to have Jesse. I think Jesse got bold and left the balcony and come down front. But he and his little one and his wife here, his little children. Jesse's also been a supporter of our ministry for a long time. Very wonderful person. I never seen Jesse ugly in his spirit since I've been knowing him. He's always been very fine. He and his little family, and we're glad to have them with us. They come faithfully to be with us in the work of the Lord. And as I said, also Sister Bullard and Sister Pixie, and also our sister from Carolina. I know a name if I can get it to register. She comes to our meetings regular. Sister Grace. But anyway, seemed like I remember that. Got a daughter, Grace, you know, and seemed like I remember it. But anyway, they're very fine people, and they come to our meetings with regularity, and we're certainly glad to have them here. Others that come from different places, we're thankful to have you. Denny back here. Denny don't miss too many of the meetings. He and his wife, they get around to our meetings, so I don't know what happened to Ed and some of the other fellas. I don't know what happened to them. Maybe they'll get along a little later. But anyway, we're glad to have these people come and be with us. The Lord's doing a great thing, and I want to be part of it. I want to do something for God. What I thought we'd do is sing a song, if you want to. Since I got Al here, we'll get Al to say something for the Lord and let him minister to us this morning. And tell us a little something about Mexico. I hadn't got to go down there in a good little while, and I've really had Mexico on my mind. I had mentioned some things to my wife, and the Lord had dealt with me about going to Mexico. And it's been probably a year, I guess, since we was down there, hasn't it, Betty? Number of months. I guess it's been at least 8 or 10 months, hasn't it, Al? About 11 months. And the people of Mexico really fussed and got upset at me to no small degree because I didn't go back sooner. That is concerning the last trip. They were really upset with me and hurt. Whereas I did go back, but they didn't know about it. Some of them didn't know about it. I didn't get to minister to them. But anyway, I had had it on my mind and felt God was wanting me to go back down there. And all of a sudden, somebody comes and a week or so later, and they said, you know, I guess maybe it was a few weeks later, they come and said, Brother Al has contacted you from Mexico, and they're wanting you to come down and minister. So I suppose we'll be going down. Still got the boat, some work to do on it, and a few other things, but at the same time, we have to keep up the ministry. May set the tent over in the areas of Arkansas, I'm not sure. But it may be close enough, Jesse, for you to get out to be with us. It might be over in the area where Brother Roger Mack comes from. West Memphis. You know, I don't fall out with you if you don't know about the wonderful mysteries of God. I don't fall out with you because no one can receive anything except it be given him from God. But on the other hand, I do think that God has somewhat against thee. In the book of Revelation, he said, I have somewhat against you. You've left your first love. That is to say, someone would say, Brother Pike, what do you mean? I've left my first love. Well, I'm a Christian, just like I've always been a Christian. But see, your first love wasn't just to be a Christian. It's evident that when he said you've left your first love, that he wasn't speaking of not being a Christian, because he still spoke of those people belonging to him and him having affection for them. But he did not say they had fallen from grace. But having left your first love, it's like a woman and a man when they marry. Well, they feel like each other is just the grandest thing in all the world. But after a while, you can lose your first love, and you may turn and think somebody else is the grandest thing. And God gets upset to this extent. You leave your first love, which means you do not have the diligence and concern to care about the things of God or to want to see God's house kept up or want to see the world evangelizing souls won into the kingdom of God. This, you lose your diligence, your drive, your first love. This is what upsets God. He said, I have somewhat against thee. So he said, you need to repent. You need to repent. I perceive that not only people at Bethlehem, but people in other places have lost their first love. And their deep, strong concern and diligence, like Paul said, I have no other man like Timothy that's like-minded concerning the things of God. You've lost your first love. You've taken God for granted, as they use the terms, and instead of God being the important thing of your life, and then the other things being additives, to the extent that Jesus said all these things will be added unto you if you seek the kingdom first. But instead of that, you have made those things that are of less value the principal concern. And in doing it, you have evaded the issue when it comes to the real things of God and of going on with God and making that number one. Jesus said first. You know, we need to think on this, folks. God doesn't need our help. He doesn't need our finance. He doesn't need us. He can create and recreate. But the thing is, he wants us. And we are precious to him because he made a big investment. You know, if you've never invested in anything, it's not very outstanding to you. But if you make a real great investment in something, then it becomes your concern, and it's very precious to you. God made a big investment. It cost him the life of his most precious possession, even the life of his son Jesus. And he invested the very blood from the veins of Jesus. He invested that blood in you, and you're his chief concern. That's why, though he doesn't need us, he so much wants us, and we mean so much to him. And every time he looks at us, he sees Jesus. That's why he makes allowance for all of our stumblings. Jesus did so much in doing what was right. It was so outstanding to the extent there was not a flaw. Therefore, God is so well pleased with it that all of our stumblings and staggerings, all of the flaws he sees in our lives, he just overlooks it because of his great love for him who loved us so much that he spilt his blood for us. I told Betty, I said, Betty, we had the tent meeting in Eden. It had to do with the finishing up, a miracle going out, the crossing over, the new life coming in, the restoration back to the beginning. I said it had to do officially with the close out of the move of Brother Branham. And I said, I didn't altogether understand. The Lord said to me, said the banner that you have over your sacred desk, said, fold it up and lay it away. And take a banner and put holiness unto the Lord and stretch it out over your sacred desk under the tent. And I said, well, I will. If that's what you want, I will. But I didn't exactly understand what he was saying. Be original, be still, and know that I am God, that came out of the tabernacle of Brother William Branham over in Jeffersonville, Indiana, was given to me. I don't know how God worked it or why he worked it that way other than the revelation. But it was given to me. And it went into the tabernacle of Brother J.T. Parnell that was running a very typical thing in God. Went into the tabernacle that he had in Florida. And Brother Parnell spoke to me about he seeing himself go out and us coming in, which he thought us to take over the tabernacle. Whereas I never have even seen the sign, I don't suppose, other than in Brother Branham's tabernacle, if I saw it there. I know that our picture was taken under it there with Billy Paul. Anyway, I had never seen it other than that, and it got lost off somewhere. And I've never till today gotten it. But someone wanted me to have it. And they made me another one. They made me one out of canvas. Somebody just up and made me one, and they've been using it under the tent over our sacred desk. And all of a sudden, the Lord says, take it down and fold it up and lay it away. As I said at first, I didn't really understand. I couldn't really get a hold of it. I knew what had happened spiritually concerning Brother Branham, me and the others. But I didn't tie it in with what was happening. And I just heard a spirit speaking then while I said that. I heard a spirit speak from somebody, and it said something, and you're right. That's exactly the way it is. It really is that way. But anyway, as far as I know, that was the last meeting with it in Eden, and we will fold it up and we will lay it away. And we will use a banner. As far as I know now, unless God does something differently, we'll use a banner that's got holiness unto the Lord on it, which means that the old has gone out. The old is folded up and laid away. The old is no more. Brother Branham represented the move of the old, and there was plenty of grain. There was plenty of food. Plenty of food. But that has gone to seed, as we say, and that people did not follow properly. They did not do the thing that Brother Branham outlined, and they got sidetracked on some of their teachings on marriage and divorce and the serpent seed and the different things. Caused a lot of problems. So it's officially folded up and laid away. And then the new harvest comes in, which is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And our theme has always been holiness unto the Lord. Because God said to me years ago, the coming in of this ministry will be Canaan, and it will be the reign of Jesus Christ himself, and it will be the restoring of all things, and there will be nothing missing in the knowledge of God, and all things of the mysteries shall be finished, and it shall complete faith in the human heart and make them gods. It will change them from humanity into gods, and they'll become eternal beings. And your theme is to be holiness unto the Lord. Sometimes Brother Taylor sings that song, Holiness Unto the Lord, is our watchword and song. And he said it will be holiness unto the Lord because in the millennium, even on the horse's bridle and on the pots and pans, it'll be holiness unto the Lord. For God is the spirit of holiness, and without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. There's no eternal life except his spirit, which is holiness. And if you'll notice at our gates, if you come through those gates, if you'll notice in metal letters sitting over the top of little Bethlehem, it says holiness unto the Lord. If you'll notice on all of our literature as a rule, unless it's an error or somebody has failed to put it on there, it has holiness unto the Lord. And as I said, Brother Stan, it is perfectly in line with your vision that you told me. Yesterday, was it? Night before last, was it? When did you tell me the vision, Stan? Anyway, when? Yesterday. Yeah, I thought it was yesterday. Stan come to me and said, Brother Pike, I had a night vision. And so this night vision involved Brother Terrell. And said, Brother Terrell had got to where he appeared to be about 80 years old, and said he was, I can't tell it the way Stan told it, but he was, Stan, why don't you take a few minutes and come up here and tell it the way you told it to me? It would be better for him to do that, and while he's up here, he can sing that song for me. I was wanting him to sing it either yesterday morning or last night. And I didn't get to call on him. It'd be a good thing for him to sing that. Peace, sweet peace. And he can tell you. But anyway, when they got into Canaan, they got their harvest. See, because Canaan has to do with the millennium, the 1,000 years reign. And the brother bringing the thing, it's obvious that you've gotten over the Jordan. This thrills me because I know that many of you didn't make it. And you camped on the other side of Jordan and you took your inheritance on the other side of Jordan. On the other side of Jordan, if you remember, there was houses of refuge. And they said, we'll just take our inheritance over here. This is a fertile valley. Betty and I was riding down along the Jordan. How long ago, Betty? A few months back. And we was looking, as we rode down along the Jordan, we was looking over into the fertile valley where they took their inheritance. And I said, Betty, look at that. I said, it's no wonder they took the inheritance. I said, look how beautiful that is. And the marsh of the river right there, you know, real crops. But see, some of them, they took their inheritance on the other side of Jordan. God has so blessed them with finance, health, and happiness. And they're so contented till they feel like, well, we'll just stay on this side of Jordan. But they did say, though we stay on this side of Jordan, we will go to church with you. Because they did say, we'll go over and fight with you. You know, if it's a matter of fighting with you, we'll fight with you and we'll return back to our families. So we will go to church with you, and then after church, we'll go back to what we was doing. And so they do go to church with us. But in their minds and hearts, they're on the other side of Jordan, and they've settled and they've camped and they drove their stakes down and they're enjoying their lives. That is the natural side of life. But some of you got over the Jordan. You say, now, what do you mean by that, Brother Pike? The Bible said to be carnally minded is death. That's the Jordan. And the Bible said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation, that your eyes might be enlightened, comprehending heights, depth, width, and length of this great thing of God. And when you get your eyes open with the spirit of revelation, then you have been born again. You've gone into a new world. You are then an occupant of a new world. And you're living on the other side of your intellectual reasoning, which is your mind that's appointed unto death. For to be carnally minded is death, because in our natural body we have a sentence of death. And all carnal things therefore spell death. For to be carnally minded is death, because there is a sentence of death because of the curse. Therefore, anybody born to the first birth is automatically dead, either by the body of Jesus Christ, to the extent they are born again of the Spirit, or either to the extent that they are twice dead and plucked up by the root in the sight of God because of sin. So if you're abiding in the flesh, you cannot please God, you're dead. But some of you have gotten over the Jordan of that carnal intellectual desire of your flesh and your body and your appearance and frolics and hunger and gullibleness and convenience and worldly desire, in that if the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father is not there. But you've gotten over that, see, and you've entered into that mind of revelation and hunger and thirst and being about the Father's business and wanting to think all the time on spiritual things and have a spirit of holiness and meekness and humility and not of haughtiness and arrogance and that kind of thing. So you've gotten over the Jordan. Few there be that find it, but we've got a few that did find it. And it's a little flock, Jesus said, but we do have the little flock. So then you've gotten over the Jordan. You that followed me over, I'm grateful because God took me over the Jordan. And I'm grateful. In going over the Jordan, that is getting over your carnal reasoning, coming into the revelational light, it's obvious in that you have done that you have passed from death unto life. And ye shall never come into condemnation, because condemnation, which is of the flesh and the law, is folded up and laid away by Calvary. We brought out the message the other night. And you are completely free from death. So then this is a wonderful thing, and as Stan comes to tell you about this, if you want to, you can be seated. I'm sorry that I kept you standing so long. Stan will tell you about the vision he had concerning Brother Terrell. And if you remember, as Stan tells it, that I told you how that he dovetailed Brother Branham's ministry out, how he would do it, and what he would say concerning the revelation of Jesus Christ, in that he would say that God had given him the revelation of Jesus Christ. I said that many months, number of years before it came to pass. And he did exactly that and told of his vision concerning Brother Branham and how his followers came over and how that he had the revelation of the Lord Jesus. And with him dovetailing it out, we had made the statement that he and Brother Walden both, that the terminal point of their ministry would have to do with the adorning of that which was coming into view. And from what Stan says of the revelation of his night vision, it is exactly in order and perfectly timed. It could not have been more perfect for him to have had it to stand here on the Day of Independence or the change to show that going out, that holiness unto the Lord coming in. Okay, that which is old is ready to be folded up and laid away. Isn't that right? But if we renew our strength and youth in Christ Jesus, if we cross the Jordan, then we never die. We never age. We are eternally alive and in full strength and power forevermore. Isn't that right? Moses crossed over not by the waters of natural waters, a river, but by the spiritual translation into the reality of the kingdom and everlasting life. Joshua crossed over not into the reality of the real Canaan and everlasting life, but in a typical thing over the Jordan into Canaan. He went over in a typical manner to show what in reality had happened to the innermost Christ of the heart of Moses, in that God had made Moses God unto the people. All right, Stan, will you tell them to sing that song?
Praise God. I believe it was in the Thomasville meeting. I think it's when I had this, either then or the Eden meeting. And in the vision, I was to go paint Brother Terrell's house. And I've never seen Brother Terrell, only pictures or whatever. And when I got there, it was like a run-down little shack. And I was real surprised, being Brother Terrell, that it would be that kind of a place. And it was in a state of bad disrepair. It really needed painting. And I began working on the front door casing, scraping and whatever, and it was really in bad condition. And as I did, I saw Brother Terrell in the house, and he was laying on a bed. And from all appearance, it looked like his deathbed. It looked like, from all I could tell, that he was about to die. And in the vision, what was really outstanding to me was that he appeared just like Brother Branham would look if he was maybe 80, 85 years old. Like a real old man, very thin and almost blind. It looked like he was very dim of vision, almost blind, and about to die. And in the vision, it seemed like he maybe wanted to communicate with me, but couldn't. For some reason or another, I couldn't communicate with him, or he couldn't with me, rather. And I kept on working, and it appeared that there was people in the background in the darkness and the shadows that I couldn't make out, that might have been women. I'm not for sure. I think there were women. But as I worked, it seemed Brother Terrell had a little boy, maybe 3 or 4 years old, just a young little fella. And he came up to me and was real interested in me and wanted to talk to me. And we communicated quite a while, you know, and it seemed like he totally ignored Brother Terrell to communicate with me. And that's all I can remember. I don't remember what was said or much, but it really stood out in my mind. I just felt like there was something to it. I really felt like I should tell Brother George. The Lord really impressed me to tell him. Okay. Kid D.
There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know that it's the Spirit of the Lord. There are sweet expressions on each face, and I know they feel presence of the Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove, stay right here with us, filling us with your love. And for these blessings, we'll lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt, we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place. There are blessings you cannot receive till you know Him in His fullness and believe. You're the one to profit when you say, I am going to go with Jesus all the way. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove, stay right here with us, filling us with your love. And for these blessings, we'll lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt, we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place.
Now, the vision that Stan had perfectly falls in order right at this moment. And I know that we're in the biggest kind of hurry when we come to church. Man usually is never in a hurry to quit doing what he likes to do. But since the flesh doesn't like to subject itself to the things of God, then the devil who savors the things of the flesh drives it and oppresses it and makes it to be in ever so big a hurry, because the devil who has possession of it and control of it doesn't want it to take long hearing the things of God, and as much as you might become oriented in something that will cause his kingdom trouble, and in that he will lose his place and dominion in the materialistic side of life. So he doesn't want you to be persuaded. And he knows the word of God is perfect. It converts the soul. But nevertheless, sometimes we just have to impose upon you and take a few minutes for the sake of those that are the elect. And if the little babies, spiritually speaking, whine, then we just have to cuddle them and take them out and bring them back in. And the little spiritual babies don't know what they're doing anyway. They just want a bottle. But, and the Bible said, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you might grow thereby. But on the other hand, the meat is for the strong. They have by reason exercise their senses to be able to discern between good and evil. They are looking into greater fields of activity. But I suppose that the vision that Stan had probably, from what I can understand, indicated the end of Brother Branham's ministry, very definitely so, and the end of Brother Terrell's ministry to the extent of this specific part of his ministry, and the age, no doubt, indicated the terminal point, and that life is expressed as 70. And the blindness could be the things that has happened. Israel was blinded in part till the fullness of the Gentiles come in. The blindness could be that. As this thing has gone on, errors do get in, and you can become spiritually blind. And not being able to relate to Stan could very well be that Stan is operating on a different level in the spiritual things. And the younger that came crossing of the Jordan, all the children of those younger ones is coming up under the Brother Terrell ministry, turning to a greater enlightenment, hungering and thirsting. For the children went over the Jordan, and the others died in the wilderness wandering, or will die in the wilderness wandering of their own intellectual reasoning, trying to figure it out instead of accepting the Word of God, believing it that God might revelate it and make it a great thing to them. So, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. But the youth coming forth, the old saying goes, they have no axe to grind, so if they hear it, they're not filled up, they're empty, and they're looking for something, and that's the something that satisfies, so they accept it. The elders already have their something, and they have their programs, and they have their plans, and whatever, so they're going their own way. They got their thing to do because they're already programmed. And their heart has already received a conception of that which is not of Christ, and therefore the image shall not be under his praise. But they must bring forth their image. And they, of course, that have Christ in the heart will likewise do the same thing. But I said that to say this, that I do know some things concerning Brother Terrell, like the teaching of women preachers. And we're very explicit, clear, and to the point, not to hurt, but at the same time, we're not deceitful to the extent that we try to cover up something that we believe in that you might support our ministry. We want your support strictly on the basis of God's Word and on the things of God, and we do not do anything deceitful to get your support in any way. Like the brother from Carolina, South Carolina, very honest brother, come to me and ask me some pinpointed questions, right down to the fine line. And I told him, I said, just be honest with you, brother. Seeing that he's sincere, then I answered him discreetly. Answer a fool according to his folly, but I perceive the brother's no fool. He's one that loves the Lord. I believe he's the Son of God. So I answered him discreetly because he approached me that way. Very truthful. And knowing that God very definitely does not call a woman to the ministry, that is the fivefold ministry. And Brother Terrell has allowed for this. It indicates that America being a woman, that time and season is over. And though Brother Terrell, when we went to him in the Valley of Alabama, he and Brother Woodruff went to him with the name of Jesus, of being baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ, David eventually came to it. He also cut across the woman preaching thing, but when it hit his ministry so hard, he backed off of it. And this, of course, wherever there is an error, then the Bible said if you transgress in one point, you're guilty of all. Whereas you might be ignorant of it. You might not know. You might have been brought up to believe that women are called to the ministry. I was brought up to believe that, but I never did believe it. Even before I entered into my training as a young boy, I recall talking to a very outstanding man that was a Baptist deacon. And I said, I just don't understand it. Of course, he didn't know how to explain it. And it's kind of comical the way he approached it. But anyway, Brother Terrell very definitely has had problems when it comes to the ministry. And seeing that the woman wasn't first in the transgression and not the man, I suffer not a woman to teach and usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Let your women keep silence, and let your men do the speaking. Or let your prophets speak, And let your women remain silent. If they would learn anything, let them ask them their husbands at home. For it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church. And this speaking, of course, means her taking authority or the leadership in the church. She cannot baptize. She cannot baptize because the Bible teaches that you are to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Baptizing and to rebuke, to exhort with all long-suffering doctrine and authority. And she cannot take the authority, therefore she cannot do it. And sorry to say that some people allow women to do that, and then the men baptize the people, saying that she can't baptize because, you know, she's weak and not strong enough, which is absurd to think that God would call anybody to preach and say, go baptize, knowing that he didn't give them enough strength to do it. But nevertheless, people do those things, you know, and there's so many other things that we could make mention of this morning. But I just want to say that to kind of clarify my thought of how we do things that are so unreal, but yet they grow so big, they become so predominant that millions of people get caught in it, and other young ministers especially, along with some of the elder ministers, the young ones coming up wanting a ministry, they're afraid that the people won't follow them if they preach all of the truth, so they make allowance and compromise, which is a terrible thing in the sight of God, and they'll have to pay for it in a horrible way. And some of the elder ministers, they've established them some kingdoms, and they've got incomes, and they're men of prestige, and they are afraid if they cut across that area of things, then it will cause a lot of problem. So, you really have a problem. But anyway, Brother Terrell has done this. Knowing better, he's done it. And God allowed him to finish his ministry as to what he's going to do. And he's done a lot of good things, a lot of good things. But as the vision I had, when he claimed the revelation of Jesus Christ, the voice said in the vision that he did not have it. It did not come out and say, you do not have it. It come out and said, you have taken another ministry that is not yours, and that you do have a ministry. Said your ministry is a ministry of healing, but the revelation of Jesus Christ you do not have. You do not have it. You think you have it. We say sometimes, but many of you do not have it. It has caused many people to get exalted because of listening to the tapes of Brother Branham, listening to the tapes of those that God has blessed. It has caused them to get exalted and take too much confidence to themselves that they are of great importance and they do have it, when truthfully they do not have it. Though you may be just babes, you really did get your eyes open, because I've talked to some of you and it is a true fact. All right, so then the ministry going forth from this day on in the independency of the coming millennium government, and that which is represented even by little Bethlehem, to be blessed. Christ finding the preeminence in all things, in that the revelation of Jesus Christ is the coming of Jesus himself. If you don't read that, if you don't believe that, read the book of Revelation, and you'll find out that the first thing that is stated in the book of Revelation is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it is the coming of the Lord, and that means that the rapture is taking place and people doesn't see it. The change is taking place. We call it a rapture because of intellectual application, which knocks the church for a loop a lot of times, not going back and finding out that the Bible in all reality says from glory to glory there is a change, not a rapture. And the word rapture not being used sometimes is besetting. But anyway, it is taking place, and the wonderful things of God are happening, and some are getting their eyes open and some are not. But it be few that be that find it. Let's turn to 344 and sing the song, Come Unto Me. Have you got your red hymnals? Now we're going to have some Bethlehem hymnals. Now these have Bethlehem on the front of them, but what I mean is our printer, Stevie, he's going to print us up some books of our own, so that we can have them at camp meeting, have them under the tent, in the different places. I believe that the vision that the brother had really does have to do with judgment, because strangely enough, Brother Mitch is a professional embalmer, and he was seen in that vision. And that's really something. Hear the blessed Savior calling the oppressed. O ye heavy laden, come to me and rest. Come no longer tarry, I your load will bear. Bring me every burden, bring me every care. Oh, come unto me, and I will give you rest, and take my yoke upon you. Hear me and be blessed. Hear me and be blessed, for I am meek and lowly. Come and trust my mind. Oh, come. My yoke is easy and my burden light. Are you disappointed, wandering here and there, dragging chains of doubt and loaded down with care? Do unholy feelings struggle in your breast? Bring your case to Jesus and He will give you rest. Unto me, and I will give you rest. To take my yoke upon you. Hear me and be blessed, to hear me and be blessed. I am meek and lowly. Come and trust my mind. Oh, come. My yoke is easy and my burden light. Stumbling on the mountains, dark with sin and shame, stumbling toward the pit of hell's consuming flame. By the power of sin, deluded and depressed, hear the tender shepherd, come to me and rest. Oh, come unto me, and I will give you rest, and take my yoke upon you. Hear me and be blessed, to hear me and be blessed, for I am meek and lowly. Come and trust my mind. Oh, come. My yoke is easy and my burden light. Have you cares of business, cares of pressing debt, cares of social life, or cares of hope unmet? Are you by remorse or sense of guilt depressed? Come right on to Jesus and He will give you rest. Oh, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Oh, take my yoke upon you. Hear me and be blessed, to hear me and be blessed, for I am meek and lowly. Come and trust my mind, come, my yoke is easy and my burden light. Have you by temptation often conquered been? Has a sense of weakness brought distress within? Christ will sanctify you if you'll claim his best. Then the Holy Spirit, he will give you rest. Come unto me, come unto me, and I will give you rest, and I will give you rest. Oh, take my yoke upon you. Hear me and be blessed, oh, hear me and be blessed, for I am meek and lowly. Come and trust my mind, come, my yoke is easy and my burden long. You know, singing that song, it always reminds me of the vision I had where I was standing between heaven and earth, high up into the heavens, and I had my hands out like this. And in the vision, I was Jesus, and I was standing there high in the heavens, and I kept saying over and over, I said, come unto me, come unto me. All you that labor and are heavy laden, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. And truthfully, that's the voice of the minister, and that the Bible said we are bone of his bone and we are flesh of his flesh. That is not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me. In the life I now live, I live by the Son of God. Not you speaking, but your heavenly Father speaking from within you. Truly the voice of God within his own body says, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Let's just lift our hands up. Now I appreciate you being here this morning. I appreciate our brother Gary and Henry, and Jim, the wife, and I appreciate Charles and Jesse, and I appreciate all the others, our sisters that are visiting. I wish the husbands could have been here, and probably maybe some of them will come along a little later. But I thank the Lord for all of them, and I certainly appreciate our brother Al Gonzalez being here with us this morning. Such a wonderful privilege to have Al here. Loved Al for many years. He's very dear to me. I hope we'll be able to go down and have a wonderful meeting in Old Mexico. I'm trusting that we will. Just lift your hands up with me. Close your eyes. Hallelujah. While you're standing there thinking on Jesus for just a few moments, I want our brother Gerald from up in the balcony up here, I want him to come down and I want him to pray with you. As I said, Gerald loves the Lord. He really wants to do something for Jesus. He's expressed his heart and life to me, and he really wants to do something for God. So then, as Gerald comes to pray with us, I want you to believe this morning. He expressed to me also that he really believed that God would heal folks and that God would help folks if he would pray. And I like that kind of faith. So as Gerald comes to pray with you this morning, let's just believe God for our healing. Let's believe God for our salvation. Let's believe God will do something extra special for us. Because it's through faith in God, beloved friend, that all of these things happen. Look at the great, wonderful vision that God gave Stan by the way of night. So wonderful. I've seen him give brethren visions and it come to pass. I had a vision a number of years ago, I guess it was. And I told my wife yesterday, I said, Betty, it's astounding. I said, it hadn't dawned on me. I said, but this thing that just happened was the fulfillment of the vision I had a year or so ago. I said, it was perfect, down to the very T. And the Lord bringing it back after all those many months, saying, remember the vision. Numbers of months went by, and all of a sudden the vision came to pass. Just exactly right down to the T. So as Gerald comes to pray, you pray with him this morning, Brother Gerald.